Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Brian Wachter is the president of the Retail Association of Nevada, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation, and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Is bringing big changes for Nevada businesses. If you have more than five employees and have been operating for 3 years or more, you must now comply with new state retirement plan mandates. The Vegas Chamber 401k plan makes it easy, offering a proven, customizable, and cost-effective plan for employers and employees to save with tax advantages. Visit VegasChamber.com to explore options and see how the Vegas Chamber can help you start saving for your future.
This summer, all roads lead to Hobie's Casino for trucks or bucks. Win up to $1,000 in cash every week. Then buckle up and win a brand new Tacoma or $35,000 in cash. Shift the winning into high gear at Hobie's Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Brian Wachter. He is the president of the Retail Association of Nevada. And today we're talking pharmacies. I know that pharmacies are busy everywhere you go. It's a booming business. But there appear to be regulations potentially coming into place that would cause some major problems for consumers, if not for the industry itself. Please explain what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Board of Pharmacy is currently considering a regulation that would mandate staffing ratios for pharmacies and actually limit the number of prescriptions that a pharmacy is able to fill in a given day to 250. The problem with that is the state's own data, including from Governor Lombardo's workforce department, points out that the state lacks the number of pharmacists that we need currently in order to meet our current standard. We only have two pharmacy schools in the state. They are not well attended. And most of those graduates end up in a hospital setting instead of in the retail setting. So we certainly have a deficit of the number of pharmacists. And so what this regulation would require us to do is really consolidate our pharmacies so that we can have three pharmacists on staff at a pharmacy at all times. And because we don't have enough pharmacists to do that, given our current store count, we are going to have to decrease the number of stores in order to make this work, which is going to cause longer lines for consumers, longer driving periods to be able to get. And in some cases, it's going to cause complete pharmacy deserts to grow in areas that haven't had a pharmacy desert before. And as you know, Sam, some of our pharmacies are located in grocery stores, and the foot traffic from the pharmacy often drives the foot traffic into the grocery store. You can go into the public records of any of these large pharmacies and find out that business is booming in the terms of number of customers, but not booming in terms of profit. And we can get into why we don't set our own profit margin in the pharmacy industry. But the regulation at the end of the day is going to limit the number of prescriptions we can fill in Nevada. And that's going to require us to close pharmacies.
Okay, this totally makes no sense. I mean, is there an uprising among pharmacists saying that we are overworked and underpaid and therefore we need help. I don't see that.
Back right after COVID, the Board of Pharmacy sent a survey out to pharmacists and asked them about their general job satisfaction. They reported back poor job satisfaction, and that what they needed more than anything in the stores was more pharmacists. Nevada is one of the few states that limits the number of pharmacy technicians that we can have in a pharmacy. And during COVID, we increased that in order to be able to handle the flow of new customers getting vaccines and getting healthcare into pharmacies. But after COVID, that number went down. And so there is less help in the pharmacy after COVID than there was previously. We just cannot source enough pharmacists in order to meet that demand. And so the Board of Pharmacy decided that in order to solve this pharmacist workforce problem, that what they would do is limit the number of prescriptions that a pharmacist could then fill on a given day.
Are there problems associated with, because every area of medicine in the state of Nevada is and has been forever understaffed. We've never had enough doctors. We've never had enough nurses. The old joke is, where do you go when you want medical treatment? You go to Harry Reid Airport and fly to California to get treatment. I mean, that joke's been going on when it was McCarran Airport, going back for decades. And so if you're going to start having restrictions on pharmacists, do you start having restrictions on doctors at clinics that, you know, that suddenly you're going to shut down?
It certainly falls into that conversation, right, Sam, about staffing ratios and the role the government has in setting how a business hires and allocates their labor workforce. And I think any instance of that is a misuse of government authority. But to do it in a scenario where there is simply not enough labor to then backfill. Is I think, irresponsible of the Board of Pharmacy. This is going to have such huge, massive consumer impact. We're talking about access to healthcare, how you get your medication. Some of these medications are maintenance drugs that must be given, at a certain time every single day. Some of these are life-saving medications. And whether or not you can get to the pharmacist before that first 250 prescriptions have been filled is going to be an open question for you.
Just using it as an example, I go to CVS for a lot of our medications from my house. They've just put in a whole new system of where instead of going up to the pharmacy counter and having to have a conversation with the technician to explain who you are, what your date of birth is and all that, you now do it on a touchpad. And I was talking to the pharmacist over there recently, and I asked him how it was going, and he said it has really sped things up, and it's really helpful for the technicians. They get all the information before they deal with the customer. He seemed very happy with that situation. I don't see the problem unless the pharmacists themselves decide that they're going to go out on a strike or have a public conversation. I don't see where government interference is, the thing that we should be doing.
Well, and these are highly paid, compensated jobs. These are doctorate level jobs, right? You get a doctorate in pharmacy. And so these are highly compensated jobs. And we too are wondering where and the proper role of the Board of Pharmacy in this conversation. There has not been, and we've been having this discussion for years, there has not been an increase in safety issues. There has not been any sort of evidence supported by the Board of Pharmacy that would talk about why all of these negative consequences, taking away people's grocery stores, taking away their pharmacies, consolidating them into one, why any of that would be worth attempting to solve the problem this way. And from the industry standpoint, we have been doing things like you just spoke about, Sam, trying to modernize the intake system, trying to lead to central fill in some drugs that are easy and constant, like blood pressure medication, things that can be filled in a central location and then sent to your individual pharmacy as a way to alleviate some of that stress. Most of the pharmacies have floater pharmacies. And so if one particular store is overstressed on a particular day, they'll bring in additional help. And so the industry is trying to solve this problem as much as possible. At the end of the day, we want to make sure all of our customers can get the medication they need, when they need it, where they need it, and the most efficiently. And so we are attempting to do that in multiple different ways. The solution that the Board of Pharmacy has gone is really the nuclear option. It's closed stores in order to consolidate pharmacists. And that does not serve the public health interests at all.
So there was a Save Mart store, which is, I think, used to be linked to Albertsons, up the street from the CVS in Reno, and they closed down their pharmacy. And so all the people that were dealing with that pharmacy suddenly showed up at CVS. And for a short period of time, it overwhelmed that pharmacy. I can't imagine what that would be like if you started shutting down grocery stores because they weren't able to have a pharmacy. The number of people that would then be going to the stores that were left, it just seems that that would really create chaos.
I think that's 100% accurate, Sam. You are going to create chaos. And the other thing is you're going to actually lead to loss of actual jobs, right? So if you think of three pharmacists that need to come, or pharmacies that need to combine in order to fully staff the one pharmacy, be fully open and offer all of their services. So those pharmacists are going to keep their jobs and the tech ratio is going to stay. So those might be able to come over. But that front end staff, the cashiers, the stockers, the people who are making that front end store work, those employees, and on average, a store hires between 25 to 100 employees for that front end side. And so when you consolidate those three stores into one, that's nice that you've kept the pharmacy staff, but you have now potentially let go and lost 50 to 200 jobs because of that front end staff no longer needing to be there at a store you don't have any longer. And so while we may be alleviating a kind of acute stress position in the pharmacist employment community, we are exacerbating an employment issue in Nevada that's only going to make that worse. And the jobs that we are losing are not $180,000 a year doctorate jobs. These are hourly rates that people are depending on.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, union jobs as well.
Absolutely.
Let's also talk then about mail order drugs, because so many insurance companies and drug companies are now offering, mail order. So, for example, Amazon, Blink, you can go down the list of all these different ones. This would almost seem like this is going to be very helpful to those companies, because if you can't get your medicines at your local pharmacy anymore because it ain't there, do you go to another pharmacy and hope that you get in there before they run out of their 250 prescriptions? Or do you go to Amazon and what's the check on, an Amazon pharmacy that's out of state?
No, I think all of those are good questions. And I think that is the pitfall, Sam, that you fall into when the government starts picking winners and losers in an industry. And they start getting into whether one company is more competitive or another company is more competitive. And anytime that that government intervention is the reason for that competitive streak, that's when we get bad policy. And so there are going to be some winners. And those are the winners are the people who aren't hiring in our locations, that they aren't paying property tax and all the taxes that go with actually opening a store. They're not keeping any of that running. In fact, they are just providing that service without any of the incidentals that make it worth Nevada for that economic activity. And so for the government to then be doing something that causes that competitive advantage for those mail order companies and the disadvantage for our brick and mortar retailers, I think underscores why the Board of Pharmacy's course of action here is just undoubtedly wrong.
Have you been talking to legislators about this?
We have, with our process, after the regulatory body gets done, it goes to the legislative commission. And we have been having conversations with legislative leadership and the commission, and understanding that this is not the public policy approach. This is going to make access to healthcare harder, especially for those who have transportation issues and to be able to actually get to the pharmacy. This is going to cause those who rely on medications on a regular basis to be more worried about whether or not they can get their drugs. And it's going to put hundreds of people out of business. And so that has been well received at the Legislative Commission. I think, some of your confusion, Sam, has certainly been shared with policymakers as we've explained to them what the process is and how we got here. But we are at the point where, we need to, I think, make the public a little bit aware of what the Board of Pharmacy is contemplating.
Well, at a time when we're trying to get voter ID cards to people that don't have voter ID cards, creating a situation where people are going to have to struggle to find a pharmacy and may have to take a bus or get a ride to be able to go to a pharmacy because the pharmacy at the grocery store around the corner is no longer there, I think is maybe even a bigger problem.
Well, and the idea that you know, because of this action of the Board of Pharmacy that we'd close grocery stores isn't something that we brandy about lightly, Sam. You know, retail has not been one to debate publicly that the end result is going to be catastrophic in Chicken Little. But every so often we do get one of these regs that is going to have that kind of repercussion and those consequences. And the idea that in Nevada and Las Vegas specifically, we'd be looking at creating more food deserts and more pharmacy deserts is 100% the opposite approach that we should be taking.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back much more with Brian Wachter after this time out.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance. Where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link. Our plans are made for your plans.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brian Wachter. He's the president of the Retail Association of Nevada. So let's look at some of these congressional races, Brian. Any surprise in what's going on in CD2 with Congressman Mark Amadei's comments last week?
I think the congressman was very consistent, right, in his approach and his thoughts to the current GOP nominee for that seat. So I was not, I think, surprised, Sam, to hear his comments on your show. I do think it underscores a potential turnout problem that Republicans are going to have in CD2. In an election where 4 years ago, the governor's margin of victory was not very large, then you could end up with 5 or 10% of the GOP and CD2 sitting at home, and that's enough to affect the election. We also heard from the governor several months ago in a hot mic situation that turnout was a problem, going to be a problem, and that they needed a ballot question in order to turn Republicans out to the ballot, that he wasn't enough to be able to drive turnout. That ballot question hasn't happened. And so I do think there is an open-ended question on turnout in Washoe County. And whether or not TBT, you know, can take advantage of that, I think is to be seen. But in terms of statewide races, I think if you're worried about GOP turnout, it needs to be in CD2.
And would you say particularly in Washoe County rather than in the rurals?
Yeah, no, Sam, I think, you know, some of the issues that David Filippo has brought up into CD2 is going to drive a wedge with some of those GOP voters. For instance, some of the GOP central committees just came out with their own policy and resolutions on data centers. It's in, I think, opposition to David Filippo's position on data centers. And I think there are a lot of issues in rural Nevada that he has not been exposed to, that he is going to have to educate himself really quickly on to be able to recapture those Republican voters who are very concerned about CD2 rural issues that aren't, I think, going to happen in Washoe County or, you know, Clark County, where David Filippo was running a couple of months ago. So those issues are going to be very specific to rural Nevada. And I do think he has a chance to lose them.
It's been very interesting watching the tracking on our website and through our podcasts, et cetera, of that interview, that there seems to be three distinct things. One, huge support for David Filippo, huge support for Mark Amadei's position, and huge support for the idea that a Democrat could win that seat. And I think that at a time when people are concerned about democracy, that this is democracy in action. David Filippo won that race, and now it's up to him as to whether he wins the race for the seat or not. I think it's going to be a very interesting race.
Well, you know, 2 years ago, Sam, the reason turnout looked the way it did is because about 80,000 Democrats in Nevada didn't turn out. They stayed home for whatever reason. And so what you're sharing with me is obviously there is some enthusiasm amongst the Democratic base, and not just in Clark County, but in Washoe County and in other parts of CD2 that I think hasn't existed before. And so when you're talking about total turnout, if you have a decrease in GOP turnout, even a slight couple of percentage points, and an increase in Democratic turnout just by a couple percentage points, those are going to compound with each other. And you are going to have a much closer race than I think anyone anticipates. And if anyone is questioning this Democratic enthusiasm gap, I would invite you to go look at the Texas Senate race, where Democrats are more enthusiastic about voting and turning out by 6 or 7 points over their Republican counterparts. And so if this is a trend that is continuing, and we see it in other places, we've seen kind of this general trend nationally. If that continues into the West Coast, then I think there's going to be a few surprises on the November ballot.
All right, we'll take another break. More with Brian Wachter after this timeout.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
We're the Peters family, two combat veterans, our daughter Elle, and our Liberty Dogs puppy in training, Cooper.
Cooper will grow up to be a life-changing companion to a veteran with visible or invisible challenges.
We're helping Cooper build focus and confidence so he's ready to support his veteran.
And we know he will help bring happiness and independence to his veteran's life.
So join us, become a puppy raiser, and change lives, one puppy at a time.
At Nevada Urban Indians in Reno, your health is our priority. Our medical clinic welcomes everyone. We accept all insurances, ensuring quality care is within reach. Nevada Urban Indians, your partners in health.
Carson Valley Inn, hate your place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brian Wachter. He's president of the Retail Association of Nevada. So I was saying in the break there to you that I think the really big issue is which way do the nonpartisans break in this election cycle?
Well, I think, you know, when our polling and our internal notes, Sam, show that nonpartisans are looking at the affordability issue as their number one issue. And I think we've seen this trend where nonpartisans are really about the economy. They're about how am I feeling. They make decisions a little bit late, but they make decisions based on what they're feeling in the moment and how nervous they are about their own individual situation. And I think the affordability issue, I think inflation, I think the Iran war are all things that are leading to a worse economy for most Nevadans. And those independents are going to vote for that those economic issues. And so I think if anyone is trying to reach them, it's really talking about what are your policy proposals to make their life better? How are you going to make things cheaper for them? And they really want to hear concrete details about policies that our thought leaders are going to implement that will make their lives better.
All right. So to me, that says that that's an election issue for this cycle. And if affordability does not get fixed within the next 2 years, you could see a complete reversal of people in office going into 2028.
Well, I think you've just, outlined the last couple, at least presidential cycles we've had, right? Where we are switching back and forth. Voters seem to be, I mean, there's a huge policy gulf between Biden and Trump, right? But you have an electorate that votes for one 4 years and then the other one 4 years later. And so voters, I think, are willing to try to give someone the ability to help them to do something, but then they expect you to do something. And if you don't do that, they're going to hold you accountable for it. And so this idea that there's nothing that you can do on affordability, I think, is going to ring hollow to nonpartisans that want somebody to do something on affordability.
And that's where we have to leave it for now. Please keep us updated on this pharmacy business because that sounds like a very, very important issue. Appreciate you being here, Brian, as always.
Thank you, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain, moving 95% of our freight in the Silver State. And while essential, the road isn't always smooth. Supply chain disruptions, rising fuel costs, and unrealistic rules and laws that hamper our ability to serve our customers and country. Our prosperity and every sector of the economy, manufacturing, mining, medicine, and food from farm to table is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers. If you want to be on our mailing list, go to the website, nevadanewsmakers.com, and sign up. You'll get the guest list in advance every Friday, and on Mondays, a whole list of our new archive shows going back to 2003. We'll see you on the next broadcast.